What's up, gamers? Welcome to the Level 99 Daily Show for Monday, February 12th, 2018. Remember, this is your RPG podcast from Vault RPG. It releases every single weekday, and it's the show where I dive deep into the greatest genre in gaming. I'm your host, Philip. Let's get today's episode started. So welcome to another week, and remember, this is in fact the same show as the Vault RPG mini podcast, now entitled officially the Level 99 Daily Show. Now today's show is going to be pretty stacked. We had a fun-filled weekend in the world of RPGs, and we're going to get to all that in a second. Our main topic for today is actually the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailers. Yes, we finally got sort of an extended look at the game. A new world was officially announced, and some other fun things there. But before we jump into that, let's talk about a couple of pieces of RPG news that came out since I recorded last Thursday. The first piece is coming from GameRant.com. And it's actually a game announcement. The name of this game is called Egress. And according to Game Rant, I quote, two of the biggest gaming trends of the last 5 years have been Souls-like combat systems and Battle Royale games. Now those two ideas will meet in Egress, a new Battle Royale game that is looking to appeal to the Dark Souls crowd. According to the announcement trailer, Egress will be making its way to PC, PS4, and Xbox One later this year. We're not sure if this game will spend any time in early access before it launches its proper, but we do know the developers Fizan Games plans on hosting a closed beta at some point. In Egress, players will explore a city set in an alternate universe that combines Victorian-era England with Lovecraftian horror elements and an 80s-inspired aesthetic. Like other Battle Royale games, players are tasked with exploring the game world and making sure that they are the last player standing. Where Egress sets itself apart from similar games like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is its use of Souls-like combat system. This means that while the game does have some projectile attacks for players to utilize, it is much more focused on melee. It also sounds like the game will have defined playable heroes for players to choose from, each with their own unique attacks and abilities. So that seems like it should shake up the Battle Royale formula as well. Once again, that was coming from GameRant.com. That is a game announcement from Fizan Games, Egress. So the thing, I'm semi-excited about this, but semi-cautious as well. I do enjoy this new sort of fad with Battle Royale games. I love PUBG, and I have not played the Fortnite Battle Royale, but I know it is immensely, immensely popular right now. So it seems like many games are trying to capitalize on this sort of phase. In fact, this game sort of hits on something that I was imagining myself actually playing Breath of the Wild, and that is a battle royale focused in like a fantasy setting where the main combat centers on melee attacks. I thought that was pretty cool that would add a different spin on battle royale, because if you look at PUBG, Most of it, because it is guns and modern weapons, most of the killing happens at a distance. Now, I know you've got those instances where you sneak up on someone or you run up on someone in a close quarters and you're having to just do whatever you can to kill them and move on, or you run somebody over with a Jeep or whatnot. So there are close encounters in that game, but most of the time, you're looking through scopes, you're firing down barrels. So I thought that putting it sword and board, it would shake things up. So this game seems to be doing it. And if you look at the trailer, once again, you can go to GameRant.com and you can look at the trailer for yourself. It has this, this article really nails it. It has, it's a Victorian era England with Lovecraftian horror elements and an 80s inspired aesthetic. That is a mashup that when you say it sounds so super strange, but it works. My one hesitation about this is with combat that is somewhat slow and really heavy. What are the encounters going to be like? Because if you have 100 people running around a city map and you have to melee them to death, are we going to get just this massive zerg of players, this massive mosh pit of swinging swords or whatever? You're going to have to be smart because, like in PUBG, once you die, you're out. So that will incentivize people not to get necessarily grouped up in this huge chaotic ball, but I'm still wondering how they're going to incentivize people not to just run to the middle and, you know, press X to win. So we'll see. We'll see more on that. It's supposed to release later this year. Second piece of news is coming to you from RPGsite.net, and that is that Fallen Legion Rise to Glory gets a release date, May 29th. This is coming from the publisher NIS, their press conference over the weekend. And once again, Fallen Legion Rise to Glory releases on the Nintendo Switch May 29th. That's in North America, and then June 1st in Europe. I have not played the Fallen Legion games, but it, after reading up on this version, it is actually a sort of a compilation because you had two separate versions released last year. One was Sins of the Empire, and then the other was Flames of Rebellion. And then this game collects them both. So you're probably, it looks like you're getting a good game for your buck. So May 29th in the US and June 1st in Europe, Fallen Legion Rise to Glory on the Nintendo Switch. And then final piece of news that we are talking about today is also from RPGsite.net. And that is details from the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 1.3 patch have been released. Now, this is the patch that's bringing you the new game plus and a variety of other features. And the article from RPGsite details what they are. So the new game, the new game plus carries over. And once again, you have to actually finish the game, but it carries over your character levels, your affinity charts of both drivers and blades, all of your resonated blades, items and gold, city development levels, and mercenary rank. The missions themselves will reset, but your rank will remain. And then the unique monsters that you've defeated will stay defeated. You'll obviously get that, like the tombstone where you can respawn them, but that's pretty cool that they'll stay defeated. Any of the game's quests, heart-to-hearts, and skip travel points will be reset. Here are following features that are exclusive to New Game Plus, and that is the characters from Torna, as well as the respective blades, will be available for the party to use, totaling 7 new blades. They can be obtained from common, rare, or legendary core crystals, or they will join as you meet them in quests. Merc missions can now be undertaken by any blade in the party, so even story-required blades such as Pyra can now be dispatched for any merc mission. Driver's affinity charts will be expanded. Bonus XP can now be returned at an inn through a new level down feature. It can be traded into various traveling bard merchants. One of the listed items that you can buy in this method is the ability to increase the number of accessories on a driver. That is awesome. And the game's final story blade will now be able to use a level 4 special. All right, and then the 1.3 general updates is the ability to lock certain common blades to your party to prevent accidental release. You can now skip the blade resonation sequence, thank God. The minimap in-game will now share the icons previously exclusive to the Skip Travel map. There is now a selectable easy mode, and the options to change the difficulty can be done at any time, and then more sorting options for gear and auxiliary cores. Awesome. So this is some convenience features and some really, really cool information about the new game plus. I haven't finished the game yet, so I'm not going to be able to take full advantage of that new game plus, but I am super excited about jumping in. And now when I'm resonating the blades, I can skip that cutscene. I know that's a small thing, but listen, once you watch something 200 times, no matter how cool it was in the beginning, it starts to get a little old. So I'm so glad that they looked at this and said, all right, we'll tweak it. So good job. They've been doing a great job of rolling out patches after that game has been released. And I just got to commend Monolith Soft for that. So if you've finished Xenoblade Chronicles 2, there is some incentive to go back and replay the game. You'll be able to get new blades. You'll be able to play the game in a way, in ways that you weren't before. And just looks like a really, really cool new game plus. All right, so that's going to be all for the news for today. Let's dive into the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailers that were released from D23 Japan over the weekend. I do have some thoughts on those. If you have not seen them, go YouTube them right now. If you're excited about Kingdom Hearts at all, if you are anxiously waiting Kingdom Hearts 3, as am I, then do yourself a favor, go watch those trailers. The game is supposed to release later this year. I do have concerns about that. I know a lot of people are expecting that the release date will actually be announced at E3 this year for a fall release. I have my doubts that it's actually going to release this year, which, don't get me wrong, that upsets me. But I do want this game to be good, and there are plenty of other games that I could be playing right now, and I'm sure will continue to come out this year. So if it needs to be bumped to early 2019, I will take that for a better quality game. So let's talk about this. Here's my main takeaway from these trailers. My main takeaway, specifically the gameplay trailer, is that it shows off scale. They've been doing this with their trailers in the past, but I feel like this trailer really focuses on scale. And I'm talking from enemy sizes to map sizes to the verticality of the maps. Everything in it shows us size, and it shows us what the tech can do now, what the engine that they're using can do, what the consoles can do. We've had games across the board right now seem to be focusing on verticality and showing scale and scope through how high up you can go. And this game seems to be no different. We see Sora plunging from looks like miles high down. And then you see him, I think in the summons, you see him rise up basically to the clouds during combat. You see him once again vaulting off buildings. You see him running up buildings. So there's a variety of shots that really show scale and verticality. We see really large monsters, which is something that the Kingdom Hearts games have given us, even going back to KH1, that their very first major, the first major bosses, the Heartless boss on Destiny Island, was pretty large. So we've been seeing these large monsters before, but they were sort of reserved for bosses. Now it looks like we might be getting large regular enemies. Speculation, but we'll see. The maps feel really big. They feel really, really big. And quote unquote open world. Just meaning that there's going to be fewer load screens between maps on worlds. The world that was announced officially was Monsters, Inc. This is a world that we've been speculating for a while now. There were screenshots that were released a couple of weeks ago, and it's officially been announced. And there were parts of that trailer that it looked like you were in some sort of toy factory room. I know, the scare factor and everything, but there were like toy boxes and things like that. And it seemed like you were in this big map with a lot of obstacles and things to do, but there were no separation. There were no separation of the map, right? So whenever you went from one side of the map to the other, you're not going to hit a black loading screen. So that's a departure from the series past. And once again, I think a testament to the technology that they're using now. Welcome, it's like a welcome to modern gaming for the Kingdom Hearts series. That's exciting to me. Now, another takeaway. I am wondering, what is it going to be like for people who haven't played the intervening games? Because I feel like everyone here is pretty familiar with Kingdom Hearts. If you're not, it is a series that originally released back in 2004? 2002? It's old. And so there was a bit of time between 1 and 2, and there was actually a game called Chain of Memories that released that a lot of the story from 2, the backstory came from Chain of Memories, not Kingdom Hearts 1. I actually did not play Chain of Memories going from 1 to 2. So there was a pretty large learning curve for someone who had never seen or touched Chain of Memories. Now, since 2 till now, there's been a long time, and there's been a multitude of games. The very inclusion of Vanitas tells me that they're going to rely on a lot of backstory from like Birth by Sleep, Dream Drop Distance, things like that. If you've never touched those games, I'm wondering what the learning curve is going to be playing KH3. Are you just going to feel lost? Or I'm hoping that they do a pretty decent job of filling in blanks for people who have never touched those lower tier releases. Because these are things that have released on many platforms. And I know they've done a decent job of collecting them since then. But still, you may not have gone back and played them. So I'm wondering what that's going to be like. The music and the Tada song is great. She is an absolute staple in the Kingdom Hearts series. I'm glad that she's back, but I'm just talking orchestral wise. Watching Kingdom Hearts trailers to me is something special because there are few other franchises that can get me so excited listening to their music while watching their trailers. They make me feel things, and it's nostalgia, excitement, adventure. Just a full gambit of emotions while I listen to that music. And that may be because this is one of the most influential gaming franchises in my video game career or life. So I have a lot connected with that series, and the music just hammers that home all the time. So those are some of my takeaways, but I want to hear from you guys. What were your takeaways from the Kingdom Hearts trailers? Did they do everything that they needed to get you excited? If they did, what was it? Let me know. You can comment below or you can tweet at me. Remember, on social media, I am at VaultRPG. And until next episode of the Level 99 Daily Show, go game your hearts out. I'll see you.